Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome in to the Inside Carolina podcast, presented to you by JohnnyT-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. This is the UNC Football Recruiting Podcast featuring Don Callahan. And as always, I'm joined by the man himself, Mr. Donnie Scoops Callahan. What's going on, Don?
Not too much. Just getting done celebrating my favorite holiday of the year this past weekend. What's going on with you?
Halloween? Is that Halloween?
It is not Halloween. It is daylight savings. Favorite holiday. It's the only holiday where you magically get an extra hour of sleep. Am I wrong?
That's correct. Obviously, you
magically.
Like
sleep. I do like sleep. I don't get enough of it though. That's
I know you like Halloween because you like all the Halloween candy. Because you,
yeah. What did you do for Halloween?
Dude, nothing, man. I was preparing for a trip. I was gone for this weekend. I missed the UNC's exhibition game and I missed the Virginia game because I had a wedding in Greenville, South Carolina. So I was gone the whole weekend. So I was just getting ready for that trip.
Yeah, that's right. I did not see you in Keenan Stadium on Saturday, so it felt a little different. I got my work done a lot quicker than normal because of that. But you know what? That reminds me. We got a bye week this week. So, and we have two mega matchups on Saturday, Penn State, Minnesota, and LSU, Alabama. What's Ross doing on Saturday? Is the man tower an option?
I mean, it's always in play. But, dude, that is a long drive to Holly Springs. And I'm still considering. I've thought about it, but what kind of food options we got?
I mean, it's open. Whatever you want to do, we can order pizza. We could. The nachos seem to really kind of knock you out. Like you and the nachos fought, and you were knocked out, TKO, yeah. In like 5 minutes at least. You were out even during that Texas Oklahoma game. But what we could do is since Tommy's getting a little jealous, we can send out an invitation to him and. Greg. And see what Greg's doing. Yeah, Greg lives really close. So if he's not busy, that would be easy for him.
What's the other game? There's Alabama, LSU. What's the other big one?
Penn State, Minnesota is at noon. Both are 8-0. And I'm sure there's other good games on there too. I just don't. Those are just the main ones.
Row the boat. All right. No more chatter. Let's get right into it. Why the listeners have tuned in. This is going to be a Trenton Simpson heavy podcast. We're going to talk about Trenton Simpson. We're going to talk about Jacoby Criswell and Xavion Capers and the flirtations with Auburn and UNC. Of course, Criswell is a quarterback commitment for UNC in the 2020 class, while Capers is a wide receiver commitment from Auburn, who has taken an official visit to UNC. We're also going to do another top five and introduce a new top five, which will be your top five favorite Thanksgiving foods. We've kind of been away from the top five because there's been so much recruiting news. We're going to get back into it. Trenton Simpson, Jacoby Criswell, Xavion Capers, top five, which was the top five sports you like to watch outside of college football. And then next week or in the future will be your Thanksgiving foods. Let's get right into it with Trenton Simpson, the four-star linebacker. He's a four-star in the 24/7 sports composite. He's a five-star according to GIST 24/7 Sports. He took an official visit, the much-anticipated official visit to UNC over the weekend. What can you tell us about that visit and what's going on right now with intel you've received on Simpson and UNC?
Well, I think it's obvious that this is moving in the direction that we kind of anticipated. I think there was, I guess, maybe some thoughts that maybe he would take additional official visits before making any sort of move. But even though he's kind of sort of narrowed it down to North Carolina and Clemson, which he mentioned in the story that we posted on Monday night, I think this really comes down to North Carolina versus North Carolina, and just a matter of time of when he's going to do it. He was supposed to have a pretty important meeting with his parents to kind of discuss what the next move was going to be. And you just kind of talking to him and asking him about, okay, what are you going to talk in this meeting? What are you going to talk about with your parents? It just sounded like that they were just going to kind of say, okay, is this what we want to do? And what date kind of works best for our schedule and all that. And I have yet to hear back from Trent. I told him I would give him a couple days, give him some space, and then reach back out to him later on this week to see where his mind is at. But hey, like I said, I mean, I think this is just, it's more of a when instead of an if.
Wow. Huge. I mean, this is an elite linebacker, would be another cherry on top for this 2020 UNC recruiting class. And you have not talked to him since the official visit. Is that correct?
Well, I talked to him. I have not spoken to him since Monday, which is right after his official visit. Wanted to give him a couple of days to some space. I don't like to kind of hound these kids. I like to give them a little bit of space. I know there's some writers who do, but I understand these are difficult decisions being made, life altering decisions that are going to affect what they do for the rest of their lives. And I want to respect that. I understand it
for sure. Yeah. So check out that Monday update. Title is Trenton Simpson visits UNC, prepares in recruitment. A lot of good intel in there. And it looks like Don will also speak with Trenton Simpson a little bit later in the week for more scoop on him. So yeah, I mean, not to be overly optimistic or get people's hopes up, but it seems like the writing's on the wall with Trenton Simpson eventually making a decision to commit to UNC. What do you think went into, since he's decommitted from Auburn, into where he is now with a commitment, just kind of a couple of weeks after he broke off from the Tigers?
When I asked him about the whole everything with that, he speaks in very vague terms. He says that Auburn just wasn't the best fit for him any longer. And then what's really kind of curious is the fact that his first visit was to Clemson, who has not offered. But even when I was talking to him, and forget about all that, when I was talking to him on Monday, and he said, I asked him if he's going to take any more visits, and he said, no, I think we have our schools in place and what we're looking at, and then we're going to make a decision. And I said, well, what are those schools? And he said, North Carolina, and then Clemson, and then I think that's it. So it was more of kind of like throwing Clemson in there just because he didn't want to make it seem so obvious that this was basically a debate between North Carolina and North Carolina and when that was going to happen.
From your intel, who has led this recruitment and what have they done long term to continue talks with Simpson and get him on campus twice, and then obviously the decommitment, and then the enough influence to kind of get to the point where you are right now? And what's kind of happened, what's been attractive, all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I haven't really been able to get a firm grasp on, but I know that Tommy Thigpen has been recruiting him from the beginning, and so he's actively involved. Dre Bly has some involvement. Jay Bateman has been in there also. But really, I wonder just how much of, he made a couple of game visits to Auburn. And then once you're doing that on a Saturday morning after playing the prior Friday night, and, obviously your parents are driving you there, how much did they start to be like, man, this is a long ride? It's one thing to kind of make it on, in the summertime where you had nothing else going on. You could do it when you have a couple of days off from work and you head down to Auburn. But it's another to do it on, Saturday morning after you have worked the entire week. And I always think that kind of starts to weigh on people and parents. Also what North Carolina is doing, the buzz around the state about this program, and this class really, Trent has mentioned this class multiple times. I think that kind of contributed also. And then really, if you go on the Auburn message boards, there just didn't seem to be this great amount of fanfare for Trent Simpson, like there obviously is on, Inside Carolina's message boards, the Tar Pit. So I think that kind of factored in. So I guess my answer to kind of sum this all up is I think it was like a bunch of factors in this, and it obviously they just worked all towards North Carolina's favor.
Yeah, and obviously, like you said, with the proximity to Charlotte and UNC, I mean, the in-state school playing with buddies from high school, the Mallard Creek connection, and then you look at what Jay Bateman has done with the linebackers, Chaz Surratt and Jeremiah Gimmel are having huge seasons, racking up tackles and making plays. You see them rushing the quarterback and really being productive. That has to be appealing for playing in college and NFL prospects as well. Combine that with where the class is going and where UNC football in general is going under Mac Brown. He had some quotes on that in your article as well. So the momentum is trending up for UNC as far as the team. While Auburn, it's just every other year, it's like, all right, is Gus Malzahn going to get fired? It's constantly questions. And they're always a pretty solid, great team. It's just there's always kind of questions about job security there and the distance too. So a lot of factors certainly in play. I mean, this would be a big get for Tommy Thigpen. I mean, a recruiter I know was heralded as a big-time recruiter coming from Tennessee to UNC and has had some impacts already. But this would be kind of his biggest fish, certainly, in terms of recruiting. All right, the Clemson factor. I mean, this is the one school. He visited Clemson, took a bunch of pictures at Clemson 2 weekends ago. They have not offered him. What's going on there from your intel? And why would a school like Clemson, who I obviously can get any player in the country and has proven that, but why would they not offer a guy who's close, he's a top 30 or so kid, 4 or 5-star player, and why would they not? I mean, it seems like an easy play for them. What's holding them back from offering?
Well, first, I think if Clemson were to offer or were actually would have offered maybe, let's say, a week ago, I think that this would be an absolute slugfest between UNC and Clemson. I don't think this would be such a slam dunk for North Carolina if Clemson was a legitimate player in this. I mean, just look at the fact that Trent's known secret visit was North Carolina versus Clemson. His first visit after decommitting was to Clemson for I think it was the Boston College game. So Clemson is definitely, if it was an option, would definitely be a player and probably could have a really good chance of kind of stealing Trent away from North Carolina. But to answer your question, Clemson's at the level recruiting wise that they're truly recruiting nationwide, and they basically can just look at the entire nation and say, okay, these are the top however many players at these positions, and we want them. I mean, they're basically just kind of picking guys. We've talked about this in a podcast a long time ago about how it's almost like when you're playing NCAA on your PlayStation and you get to, you know, you've been playing for 10 seasons and you're at the point where you're literally just adding 5 stars, having full class of 5 stars. That's what Clemson's at the point of. So with all that said, Justin Flo is, I believe he's the top linebacker in the nation. Regardless, he's the number 5 overall recruit, 5-star guy from California that Clemson really, really wants. You know, he's the elite of the elite, and basically they don't want to do anything that could potentially harm their chances of landing him, and trying to find room for Trent Simpson could potentially damage their chances. And that's what it comes down to. And really, I know that fans think that schools have unlimited scholarships and you can always find room for this guy and that guy. The fact of the matter is, and North Carolina fans should know this by now with what we've dealt with the last few years with guys being turned away. And even in this class, guys being turned away, 4-star guys being turned away, there is a limit to how many scholarships you can offer. And Clemson probably could take both of these guys, but it would take a lot of work to take Simpson. And so, and they want Flo, and that's what it comes down to.
Gotcha. Stacked recruiting class already. I mean, just countless 4- and 5-star players, a couple 3-stars as well, but sounds like they have, let me look at it. They have 20 commitments right now, but it seems like Flo's their guy at linebacker. Makes sense. I mean, if I was Trent Simpson, I mean, I wouldn't want to be, second fiddle to this Flo kid. I want to be a priority, and UNC is making him a priority, obviously. So, all right, well, let's all kind of wait and see now and kind of wait for that that text, that announcement, and hopefully you'll keep me in the loop so I can prepare content as well as Trent Simpson nears his commitment. Don's very weird about telling me stuff, but I'm like, dude, man, I have a job to do as well, and there's stuff that you don't see that I do.
And you asked me, like, when's Trent Simpson committing? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I legitimately don't know.
I had heard that he was committing soon. And so I was like, all right, well, I got to get this stuff ready because I do a highlight article. I do reactions. I do a lot of stuff that doesn't get on the front page and on the boards, but it goes to our Facebook page and it's mostly a traffic play. And I have to spend time doing that. So I want to make sure I'm on top of things, pre-write some stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, well, dude, the Jonathan Adora guy.
Adorno.
I was like, when's this guy committing? You're like, I have no idea. He commits literally 5 minutes later.
Well,
you definitely knew.
No, I did. I didn't know the exact time. I just knew I was told it was likely going to happen by the end of that day. It just happened to be a coincidence that you ask me and I say I don't know, and then 5 minutes later Adorno commits. That kid's he's a different kid, approaches recruiting very, very differently. Setting up the interview with him afterwards was no easy task, just because he doesn't like the attention, doesn't like the interviews and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, yes, so that wasn't done on purpose. I had no idea he was about to commit. And even with the end of the day thing, like the people who I was talking to were like, yeah, but you know how Jonathan is, he might want to sleep on it and that sort of stuff. So yeah, so I legitimately
just gotta
keep
me in the loop, because I mean, I may go out and do somewhere without my and go somewhere without my computer, and I need to know where I need to be at home base so I can get stuff up. I have to run our Facebook page, social media, newsletter, so I have to be prepared for all these big commitments. Otherwise,
you should just bring your laptop everywhere.
I mean, I sometimes do. I've written stories and done Facebook newsletter from many.
I don't. There's places. Four things that I never leave the house without: my keys, my wallet, my cell phone, and my recorder. I don't always bring my laptop though. But there are a lot of times I do bring my laptop, and it is
the whole point of that was to say you always bring your laptop.
No, but I bring my recorder. You know how it is. I mean, you can. Nowadays, you can do something really quick on your phone. Now, obviously, if it's more elaborate, you need your laptop. And yeah, I mean, if something's kind of pending, then yeah, I have my laptop in my trunk.
Yeah, I mean, I bring it most places.
I mean, the places that I have, I could write a long, crazy list of the places that I have written stories at, and I'm sure you could do the same.
Yeah, I mean, I remember pulling over and doing a Chick-fil-A parking lot. I remember riding it outside a brewery in Brevard, North Carolina, side of the highway. I usually put the laptop on top of my car. This is back when I did more recruiting stuff, so I'd have to actually put the recruiting stories up. But yeah, we all have odd places. I've done it on a date. Chad Surratt flipped while I was on a ferry at the beach. And so I had to write the story and do everything on the ferry. And then something else happened. I was on a date and somebody else, another quarterback committed or something. I had to go in my car and get my laptop.
Yep, it happens. That's the, I guess the
cost of love.
Yeah, because it's doesn't end. It doesn't, I mean, there have been times I remember, you think, and you probably have this mentality also when you're doing it, you think, okay, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, after that, I'm safe. But I remember when UNC was recruiting those Texas safeties that never ended up. I think they were only committed for like a month or whatever. Is from the same. Yeah. Those guys love to commit at like, what was it, like 10:30 our time.
Weird. So, that was a weird like little thing. They like held a spot with UNC before flipping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's no fun. And then you got to like, and like you get like no heads up with those situations because of the coaches really don't get a heads up with those situations.
Yeah. We're not complaining. We're just letting you know the a little insight into our work job. That
it's not all glamorous.
Yeah, that's right. It's fun and it's exciting, but there is a lot of – it's flexible, but because it's so flexible, it also is – stuff can happen at all hours. All right, anything else on Trenton Simpson?
I think we pretty much covered
official
it
visit,
all.
Official visit went great. I mean, all signs point to a UNC. I mean, this would be –
well, the other thing that I want to throw out there – yeah, the one thing I want to throw out there is I would not surprise me – I don't know this for fact, and I haven't been told this, but it wouldn't surprise me if the staff really kind of hammered home the fact that, hey, Clemson doesn't want you. Just in case Clemson were to offer him after the official visit or to offer him later on, just to kind of hammer home the fact, look, Clemson doesn't want you. And even if they offer you later, you weren't their first choice, yada, yada, we want you here, that sort of thing. I mean, I think those sort of things were hammered home because obviously, Clemson was the only threat really to North Carolina you know, as of this weekend.
Good stuff. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on at quarterback in UNC's 2020 class. But first, I want to talk about Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They are Inside Carolina's valued sponsor right there on Franklin Street. Check out Johnny T-Shirt to get all your UNC apparel, sweatshirts, pants, shorts, shirts, hats, anything for your family and friends, your kids, your wife, your husband, your daughters, your son. Head over to JohnnyT-Shirt.com and Johnny T-Shirt around Franklin Street to get what you need to cheer on the Tar Heels. Remember, you can head to the Inside Carolina premium message boards to get the promo code and use that code to get 10% off all your purchases. If you're getting a bunch of stuff, you're doing all your Christmas shopping, you can save a couple bucks with that code and use that money you save for a special treat for yourself. I'll probably do some shopping there for my niece and nephew as the holiday season arrives. So Johnny T-Shirt on Franklin Street and JohnnyT-Shirt.com on your internet, on your computer there. All right, enough of that. Let's get right into Jacoby Criswell. You kind of wanted to talk about this. I read your scoop. What's going on with Jacoby Criswell? He is UNC's only quarterback commitment for the 2020 class. We know how important it is that you get a quarterback for each cycle. Otherwise, you end up with what UNC has faced in 2017-18, where you don't have enough quarterbacks and maybe one doesn't work and your backup kind of sucks and you struggle. So Auburn making a move, Jacoby Criswell, Don Callahan, floor is yours.
Yeah, so yeah, he kind of, well, I guess it's he's kind of always been, I don't want to say wavering, that wouldn't be accurate. I think he's always kind of left the door cracked just a little bit. And even with some of his comments, has always kind of just, you never kind of felt like, okay, he's 100% solid. A lot of his actions have backed up. I guess he hasn't really visited anywhere else. He did go to, I think, Houston for that, Auburn, I guess it was Auburn and Texas A&M game, I think it was. Whatever it was a neutral site game. But besides that, this North Carolina is the only school he's visited this fall. But some of his comments have been kind of strange. And you kind of throw in there the fact that Auburn is now thinking about trying to add a second quarterback to its class because it just lost Joey Gatewood, just transferred out, I think it was last week. And if it were to add a second quarterback to this class, and there's no guarantee that it will, Criswell is definitely a guy that Auburn staff is really high on. And he really hasn't just shut it down. Just kind of looking, one of the quotes he gave me, and this was a few weeks ago, he said, of course I'm still listening. Right now I'm committed to North Carolina and I'm happy where I am, but if anything falls down, you always have to have a backup plan. I don't think I'm going to be taking any more visits anywhere else. And if you look at just all of his quotes, just to me, I just feel like there's an exit door to all of them, which is always kind of worrisome, especially, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, is that the likelihood of a guy sticking, and one of the factors that doesn't work in a school's favor is the distance from the school. And Criswell is, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody else who's further away from campus. Can you? I know that you don't know the class as well as I do, but it's just a little scary. And really, this class obviously is awesome. If UNC lands Trent Simpson, it's going to hover around the top 10, at least temporarily. But if you don't get a quarterback, it could be huge, huge for North Carolina in a negative way, because UNC definitely needs quarterback depth to come from this class. Because, you mentioned the prior seasons, but this season, if you think about it, if Sam Howell goes down, UNC season is basically over because you have a walk-on quarterback who would have to step in since Jace Reuter is also injured.
Yeah, and Jace Reuter is getting back to health, but yeah, for a while there, they didn't really have a backup. And I mean, you just got to prepare for the future. You got to think about how, potentially a three-year guy, so you want to continue to build that quarterback depth. I mean, the key is taking a quarterback every year. And yeah, so Auburn's closer. They run a pass happy offense as well. I mean, if you were to put I mean, what vibes are you getting? I mean, you kind of talked about it a little bit, like, I mean, is this a realistic possibility this dude flips before December? Is he an early signee guy?
All right. So that's the other thing that kind of worried me, is the fact that I asked him about his enrollment, and his plan all along has been to be an early enrollee. And he said that now he was rethinking that because of the distance. And I'm thinking to myself, and I didn't say this because I got to be a neutral journalist when I'm interviewing these kids, but I'm thinking in my head, the distance between his home in Arkansas and Chapel Hill does not change based off of when he enrolls. So if the distance bothers him so much that he might delay his enrollment, then you got to think that it's kind of weighing on him. So I could honestly see this going either way. I could see him kind of firming it up and signing with North Carolina. I think his plan, regardless, is to sign December, regardless of when he enrolls. So that helps a little bit. But I could also see this being a situation where he flips somewhere else. And right now, I think there's not a huge, huge worry, because Auburn seems to be the only school that could steal him away, and they have not offered. So that's the one thing that's kind of going in North Carolina's favor. And there's some other things. You know, Auburn has a 2021 quarterback commitment, and they don't want to scare him away if they offer a second 2020 quarterback. So that's kind of, I guess, obviously working in North Carolina's favor. But yeah, I mean, this has to be, I know everyone's focused on Trent Simpson, and that would be a huge get, and, you know, likely will be a get. But for the remainder of this class, securing Jacoby Criswell or a similarly talented quarterback for this class is huge, because if you don't sign a quarterback in this class, it doesn't matter how good the rest of your team is. As NC State's finding out this season, as North Carolina found out the past couple of seasons, you need a quarterback. It doesn't matter what you have elsewhere.
Yeah, and Criswell has to see how well Howell's doing this offense, his connection with Phil Longo, success of the offense under him as an offensive coordinator. It has to be attractive, and obviously one of the main reasons he committed to UNC and the air raid offense in the first place. He has not taken his official visit yet, correct?
He has not.
But he'll be coming, returning in December, I imagine, yes, for that big official visit weekend. So that plays for UNC's favor. They usually have most of the big commitments in that early December official visit weekend, correct?
Yes. So he said that his official visit is scheduled for a weekend in December. I think there's only two weekends in December that do not fall within a within the dead period. So it'll be one of those weekends. The second weekend is the one that's the big weekend. And I'm sure UNC is targeting to get him in for that one, because it's also the last weekend before the signing period.
So that is good timing for UNC if they can hold him until then. And then obviously he can come to UNC and probably have a great time with official visit and go from there. All right. And another factor with that is Xavion Capers. Briefly, Xavion Capers, the four-star wide receiver, took an official visit to UNC earlier in the year. He is committed to Auburn. He has a close relationship with Criswell. And in your scoop, you wrote that, you know, this could help UNC or it could hurt UNC. What's your take on that? Because obviously Capers and Criswell's connection could have influence for either school, Auburn and UNC.
Yeah, so just to kind of give the backstory, Capers and Criswell, they actually were teammates at the opening back in July, and developed a friendship from that. And coincidentally, when Capers was officially visiting North Carolina 2 weekends ago, that was the weekend that Criswell was in town for his lone visit to North Carolina this fall. So obviously they hung out some there. They aren't super, super, super close to the point where they'll just automatically become a package deal, but their connection is strong enough to where it could kind of tip the scales in either direction for these schools. And, you know, going back to your question earlier, I mean, I honestly could see a situation where Capers stays at Auburn and Criswell stays at North Carolina. I mean, that's very, very realistic. You know, it's just something to kind of just watch out for in this next, I guess, month and a half before signing day.
There you have it. All right, good stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our top five, the top five sports you like to watch other than college football.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
And we're back. All right, Don, we haven't done a top five in a while. We're going to go through some of our reader submissions of the top five sports you like to watch other than college football. For me, this is tough. I mean, I am a big college football guy, big college basketball guy, NFL guy. So there weren't many options outside of that. Let's read a couple here. We'll read two or three each quickly and then give ours and then get out of here.
All right. Do you want to give the new one real quick once again?
Yeah, and of course, the new one will be your top five favorite Thanksgiving dishes or foods. Send those to Don Callahan on Twitter, email, or private message on Inside Carolina, and we know where we can find Don there. You know, any unique things your family does, any cool dishes you really like, you know, be descriptive with how it's made, because, you know, there's mashed potatoes and there's dressing and stuffing, but maybe there's a twist on ways that your grandmother or your mom or your wife or your husband makes a certain dish.
Your husband.
We have female listeners, and, you know, some people have different lifestyles. All right. Let's dive in.
All right. You want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You start at the top there.
All right. Where do we go? Let me go. I'm going to go with my man, Dale, since he always submits every single top five. Number five, NASCAR. Number four, PGA golf. Number three, college basketball. Number two, NFL. And number one, MLB. In particular, he loves his Cubs. So
there you
I love a Cubs fan. All right.
Cedric from Atlanta, heavily into martial arts and combat sports. Wow. Okay. So this is a little bit different than a lot of our listeners and certainly what I'm into, but it's cool to see this. He's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu and he practices judo. His sports: one, UNC sports, so football, basketball, baseball; two, MMA and UFC; three, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The ADCC World Championships was the weekend he submitted this, and that's like grappling and submission stuff, real wrestling, judo, and Muay Thai. Am I saying that right? Muay Thai. There we go.
K1,
kickboxing and boxing. Yeah, I think it's a Muay Thai is a drink, but this one's Muay Thai. I think it's a type of combat sport as well. All right.
I'm going to go with Eddie from Red Springs. Number five, volleyball, and mostly because his 13-year-old granddaughter Hannah is on a JV team at Christ the Cornerstone Academy. And I can relate to that a little bit, having a child on a team. Number four, NBA, and he likes to focus on the UNC players, a former UNC players. Number three, MLB, and he's a Dodgers fan. Number two, pro football, and it seems like he likes he roots for the Rams and the Panthers in that order. And then number one is college basketball, which I'm assuming that he roots for the Tar Heels.
There you go. All right, Patrick from Scottsville, Virginia. Rugby is his first choice. MLB, his three is can. What is that?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll skip that one. NFL and racing. All right, you want to do one more and we'll get out of here?
Okay. All right. Let's. Oh, God. Now you catch you all.
How
off
about
guard.
Noah from Korea? Noah from Korea.
I'll let you do Noah. I'll do. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to go Ray. Ray just keeps it simple. Ray has number one, UNC men's basketball. Number two, UNC baseball. Number three, UNC women's soccer. Number four, UNC women's field hockey. And number five, UNC women's lacrosse.
Good stuff. And then Noah from Korea. We love our international listeners. Don is big internationally. He has European club soccer. Your boy John Siegley is into European club soccer. Fantasy football. So he includes fantasy football as a sport he watches. So interesting perspective there. The Olympics. I don't really follow them so much as watch obsessively when they're on. I guess that's like most people, especially the Winter Olympics, he writes. March Madness, college basketball. And draft night, NBA, NFL. He doesn't like the professional leagues. NHL is probably the best, but I love the draft. It's fun to see the players I watched in college and think about how they'll fit in their new environments, who got a steal, et cetera. Some cool takes there. Olympics, fantasy football, draft night. All right, Don, you're five.
Yeah, I like the draft night thing. I didn't include that in mine, but I definitely used to be huge into drafts for whatever reason. I guess it kind of falls in line with what I do now. But yeah, so we're just going to go. I give my five. You give your five?
Yeah, let's go straight through with a brief explanation on each.
All right,
no dilly-dallying here.
Okay. So going back to, who was it? Eddie. I can relate to the whole kids sports things. Love watching my kids play. Probably would be number one if I considered it a true, I guess, sports ranking. But anyway, all right, number five for me, World Cup soccer. Now, I'm starting to become a bigger soccer fan. And I guess my entry drug to it was the World Cup. So I love women's and men's World Cup. I try to watch as many games as I can, and it's great that it's on during the day because I don't have a lot going on besides work. Number four for me, the NCAA tournament. I'm not a big basketball fan in general, but I love the March Madness NCAA tournament. I'll start kind of watching during the conference tournaments, but definitely love to fill it out a bracket. Number three, NFL. You know, like a lot of people who are listening to this, my Sundays are full of watching NFL. I'm big into fantasy football, like someone mentioned earlier, and that's probably a big part of it. Number two for me is baseball, in particular, the Phillies. I'm also big into fantasy baseball, but love my Phillies. And number one, the love of my life, the Flyers. Obviously, watch hockey a bunch. As Ross has asked me millions of times, no, I do not miss a Flyers game. And when the Flyers come to Raleigh to play the Hurricanes, like they are on the 21st, I will be there. So, Ross, I would love to hear yours. Or
yeah,
you have a take on mine.
It's crazy how much Philly sports you watch. I mean, you often speak about how you don't miss a Phillies game and you don't miss a Flyers game.
Well, I'll miss a Phillies game, and just because there's 162 of them, and with the Flyers, I will actually, if a game is on and I have something else going on, I will watch it later because I have the package or whatever. With baseball, there's a game almost every day, so it's pointless to kind of watch it the next day or whatever because you have the next game coming up.
But I mean, 162 Phillies games, how many do you watch?
I mean, I'm very close to all of them. Cause I mean, some of it is, some of it is like, I could be in the car and I put it on the radio, or I could be shopping with my wife and I have it on my phone, or I have it on the radio on my phone. And because it's just such a sport where you don't have to just focus on it. You can do a bunch of stuff. And this is what I love about it. You could do a bunch of stuff and not miss anything. And then and there's a key moment, you stop what you're doing, you watch it. And that's the beauty. You can't do that with hockey. You can't do that with football other than during breaks, commercial breaks. But that's the thing about baseball. And it's perfect for fantasy sports.
What an awesome sport where you don't have to watch it. Like, that's what makes it good, the fact that you don't have to watch it.
You have to watch it.
It tells you exactly all you need to know about baseball and how boring it is.
Okay. All right.
You just have to watch it.
You do have to watch it.
You just said you don't have to really watch it. You just have to look up occasionally to see stuff.
All right. All right. I'll just let you get to your list.
Yeah, people hate that I bash baseball.
I love your opinion.
Yeah, you respect it. I respect. I mean, I think it's cool you have passions. I mean, that's what – I mean, everybody has interests and passions, and you're really passionate about Philadelphia sports, and that's awesome. All right, NFL is my number one. I'll watch any NFL game. I favor the Panthers, but, I mean, honestly, not a – kind of a bandwagon Panthers fan, but I love the big games, NFL, Sunday night, Monday night, you know, wake up on Sunday and watch a lot of NFL. Love the drama, love all the good stuff. I mean, this time of year is great. When college basketball's starting up and college football is going, and you have NFL ramping up as well. Next would be college basketball. Obviously, UNC, enjoy watching the Tar Heels. I watch a lot of ACC, but I'm not too into it outside of the top ACC teams. I watch Duke and State and other stuff, obviously, for research and for my job, but, you know, love watching the Tar Heels. And after that, man, I really turn off sports after March Madness. I mean, I don't watch much. I don't watch any baseball. I don't watch any NBA. I don't watch any hockey. I'll watch a little bit of the NBA playoffs if it's on. But so I had to get kind of creative. I went with the drafts. I took a note from Noah. I didn't think about that, but I do watch the NFL draft, the first round especially. That's about it, though. NBA draft is intriguing, and I watch that as well. You know, it's just one day, so I'm into the drafts. I like Olympic swimming and Olympic track. Big Michael Phelps guy. For some reason, you know, those are endurance sports and sprint sports. There's no ball involved, but I don't know. I really get up for Olympic swimming and track, especially when there's a dominant person. And endurance running is cool to watch as well, like the mile run and the other distances, relays, things like that. And then finally, I guess the World Cup. I mean, I get in the World Cup. You know, it comes around every 4 years. I guess every 2 years if you include the women, and I definitely want to include women because I'm an inclusive person. But, yeah, really into when the USA made a run a couple years back, even when they weren't in it, I got into the World Cup just because it was always on in the morning the last time. And so I'd wake up, there'd be a game on, there'd be another game on. So I'd sit there and do work and watch soccer. Soccer's kind of like a game like baseball where you can kind of have an eye on the TV. You know, you can kind of tell when they're about to score and a big play is coming. And you can also kind of do some work as well.
Now you get it. Now you get it.
But I don't love soccer. Like, I don't watch any other soccer. Like, I'm not dedicating 162 days to soccer.
Yeah, I think I would, but there's just a gazillion leagues, and I'm not sure which one I should follow, and I'm not sure what time of year they play and all this other stuff. Like, I feel like there's always soccer on, and there's just so much of it, just so hard. Let me ask you this. No, there, I'm trying to think of how the phrase is. If there's like a big event, like a horse race, like the Triple Crown, I will make it a point to watch that. If there's something, you know, I'm not huge into UFC, but if there's a big fight, I used to get into like the girls championships in the UFC with Ronda Rousey and
you women, know, those
women, my bad. Do you, if there's like a big event that's kind of like dominating Sports Center or the news or whatever, will you watch it?
Yeah. I'm a huge Kentucky Derby guy. I used to always watch it. I still will, unless I have something going on. Masters Sunday, you know, any of the majors in golf, I'll watch usually a Sunday, you know, the last couple holes. I mean, boxing, UFC, maybe.
Boxing, but yes. That's another one where if there's like a big fight, then, you know, I'll definitely watch it. Yeah.
I mean, the Kentucky Derby, I mean, it's what you turn it on for 30 minutes and you get all you need. I mean, you can watch the stuff leading up to it, and that's still only like an hour or two, and that's it. And then you wait until next year. Obviously, if the Triple Crown's in play, you can watch the next couple of races, the Belmont Stakes and the – what's the other one?
I don't know.
I don't know either. We failed there. All right. Good stuff, Don. Covered a lot. You know, I think Trent Simpson's going to dominate the discussion for the next couple of weeks, depending on when he commits. Jacoby Criswell is interesting stuff there. And, you know, we're entering the later stages of his 2020 class. Hey, answer me this. Are they going after anybody else in 2020?
They are, but it's mostly just, you know, kind of just throwing out feelers sort of thing.
And like kind of in case people decommit.
Yeah. In case people decommit, like backup plans for certain things. And, you know, I think Capers is an example of it, where you're like, all right, well, let's just stay on him and let's hope we get an official visit. Oh, we got an official visit. Let's just try to stay in this and maybe we can force a flip, especially if Auburn fires their coaching staff. You know, we'll be right there in prime position to kind of land. Those sort of things kind of play out. And that obviously has worked toward North Carolina's favor, even though UNC does not need another wide receiver. But you can't pass up a guy like Capers.
For sure. All right, guys, thanks for listening. We will catch you on the next episode of the Don Callahan Inside Carolina UNC Football Recruiting Podcast.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.